So one of the two most ancient tellings of the story of Hanukkah is the Gemara with which you started, the Gemara Chafal from Viz. Those who daven Nusach Ashkenaz know that the second parak of Masechta Shabbos is at least begins with the topic of Hadlakas Ner Shabbos, and as we'll see soon, as you saw the Gemara Chafal from Aleph, gets from the issue, the details of which oils and wicks you can or cannot use on Ner Shabbos, that brings us to the question of which oils and wicks can you or can you not use on Ner Chanukah, and that already gets the Gemara into the sugyas of Chanukah, to begin there Chafal from Aleph and go run all the way until Daf Chav Dalet. After dealing with a handful of the critical issues over the course of Chafal from Aleph, Chafal from Beis, the issues have to do with the wicks and oils and the fundamental issues that the Gemara unpacks in that, which we'll get to see soon. And then the question of the Zman of Hadlaka and how many are Madlik and who is Madlik. I think you had a chance to work through some of those sugyas with Rabbi Taubes this past Sunday. So after a few issues, before the Gemara goes on to the rest, the Gemara stops the Baal Chafal from Beis and says, by the way, let's take a step back. What's the background for all this? These dinim, my Chanukah. What's the backstory for the whole Yom Tov of Chanukah? That's how Rashi translates it. My Chanukah, Rashi says, al eza neitz kiva'uha. They were koveya than Yom Tov of Chanukah because of which neitz. So the Brisa goes on to tell the story. Tana Rabbanan, Chafei v'Kislev, Yom Tov Chanukah t'menayi inun. There are 8 days of, these 8 days of Chanukah begin the 25th of Kislev. Lo l'mispei bo, lo l'sanos bohun. You can't say a hesped on Chanukah, you can't fast on Chanukah, it's an aspect of Simcha, not the same degree of Simcha as Yom Tovim. Not necessarily a need for let's say, Suuda, a Simcha b'kum v'asei. That's a debate whether there's any. It was mentioned yesterday. Amos says maybe there is some aspect of Suda if you combine the Suda Chanukah with Shiras and Sushbachas, but certainly not a Chi of Suda the way you have on Yom Tovim. But there's definitely a Chi of Simcha B'Shev Al Tasri. The things you cannot do because of the Simcha Chanukah, there's a lesser level of Simcha. It's also to say a Hesped, to deliver a eulogy on Chanukah, also to fast on Chanukah. And why is that? Kishenichus Yivam Lehechal. Yivam come into the Hechal. Timukol Hashemah Hashem Hechal. The Metame, all the oil, Kishagavim Baruch Mechaz Beis Chashmonoi, Unitzachim, in the aftermath of the Chashmonoim's military victory, Bad Kulamatsu Pachecha Chal Shemen, Munach Bechasam Shal Kohen Gadol. Only found the one sealed container of oil, only enough for one day. Nasbo Neis Hidliki Menu Shmon Yom. A Neis occurs and they're able to be Madlik for 8 days from that one day's worth of oil. L'shana Acheres Kiva'um V'asu'um Yom Tovim Bahal Vada. And the next year, they weren't Koveya Chanukah apparently right away. But the next year, there are Kaveh the Yom Tov of Chanukah, so the Sfarim suggests that the Chachmei Hador wanted to see if there was something permanently that had changed that some of the Sifrei Machshava talk about. When you have a permanent Yom Tov, that means that there's something in the climate of that time of the year, something, there's a different spiritual feel to that time of year every year. As Yetzias Mitzrayim happened over 3,000 years ago in the month of Nisan, but something permanently changed about the spiritual climate of the month of Nisan. So that's the level of Daraisa, but even the Yom Tov Midrabanan, that's what some suggest, they wait till the next year to see, was that just an incredible Nais that we should be thankful for, or is there something changed about the spiritual climate, the Segula of the end of Kislev, the beginning of Tevis, when they sense that something had changed, so that's when they decided to make it a Purim Yom Tov. That's what some of the Sifrei Machshava suggest. Either way, Lashana Acheres, in the next year, maybe a few, a different year, they were kaveh these 8 days, kuvah they were kaveh them, they said 8 days, kaveh these 8 days as a Yom Tov Bahalo Vehoda. So a few things strike us as we read this Braisa. Number one is just the language at the very beginning. A couple of fellows found it very difficult. At the beginning of the Braisa is Aramaic, but it's a type of style of Aramaic they're not used to. And then, it seems very formulaic, 25th of Kislev, 8 days. And we start, jump right away into Hespet, Tainus. What's that? Before we even get to the story, then we circle back at the end to again say that after we tell the story, that they made a yomtiv bahalal the Hodah. So the language at the beginning of the Brisa is striking. And then the middle of the Brisa tells only half the story. The middle of the Brisa downplays the Milchama. It mentions that there was a Milchama. It doesn't tell us there's anything remarkable or miraculous about it. And then there's the end, in terms of what does and does not appear at the end. So just to explain a little bit, the beginning, there was your end and the end afterwards. The reason why the beginning of the Brisa is so striking, because this Brisa, Tana Rabbanan, is part of a much larger Brisa, probably the, if not the most ancient, one of the most ancient Brises that we have, one of the most ancient texts of Tarash Vapel. This is a excerpt from Megillas Tanis. If you learn Maseches Tanis, you probably come across larger chunks of Megillas Tanis. Megillas Tanis was a sefer, essentially, that was a Megillah, a work of Tarash Vapel, that was composed over the course of the Bayis Sheni period, and it had a record, an ongoing record, of all the Yamim Tovim that the Chachmei Hadoros had been koveya over the course of the Bayis Sheni period in response to different events that occurred to re-enable Avodas HaMikdash or to enhance Avodas HaMikdash. So there's when they had a particular success of the Greeks, is when they were able to restore proper timing for Shavuos, when they were able to take things back from the Tzedukim, and some of the Yom Nikanor celebrates what happened to Nikanor, who, as we know, if you know your Maseches Midos, was a significant donor to the second Beis HaMikdash. So it takes you throughout the year. Now, every paragraph begins, and this day, and this month, is, you know, it's called the Yom Trayanos, it's called Yom Nikanor, whatever it is, because here's what happened. And so that's how it's a calendar. It takes you through the year, lists every significant day, and the days are graded. There are different levels of simcha. So the higher level, whether there's both an Isser Hesped and an Isser Tainus. So that's why it begins with this more ancient Aramaic. This is not the Aramaic of Talmud Bavli. This is several centuries earlier from Eretz Yisrael. This is the Aramaic of Megillas Tainus. That's why it starts 8 days at the beginning of the Chafei Kislev and tells you right away both an Isser Hesped and an Isser Tainus. Then tells the story. And tells the story and tells us only half the story, as opposed to Al-Hanisim, which is the other ancient record of the story of Chanukah we have from Chazal, and that tells the other half of the story. Al-Hanisim is like is the exact inverse of my Chanukah. Al-Hanisim mentions Hadlakas HaMenorah as an unremarkable, unmiraculous epilogue. Al-Nisim focuses on the incredible Nais al-Mulchama, Rav Miyad Miyatim, Tvein Biyat Tahorim, and so on and so forth. Kadosh Baruch Hu helped us and saved us, Rav Tez Rivim, down to his dinam. And then it mentions, when they finish the war, then they lit the nearest HaMenorah. Doesn't say there's anything remarkable about that. Doesn't say there's anything miraculous about it. As a matter of fact, if you're just reading Al-Nisim, you would wonder, why the menorah? I mean, they also brought Karbanos, and they brought the Karban Tamid. And they were Machter Ketores. Like, why Neres HaMenorah? It just sort of appears there, sort of this hanging epilogue at the end. Oh, by the way, they lit the menorah. You learn my Chanukah, you appreciate what was unique about the menorah. You wonder, in my Chanukah, why do you even mention them? What's this about the Mohana? Right? So, each of the two texts of Chazal that tell the story of Chanukah tell us half of the story. So for now, just thinking about, let's put Al-Nisim aside maybe for some other time, better. In terms of Chanukah, so we understand well why, with what we saw so far about where Chanukah comes from, we understand why the focus is on the Neis HaShemen as opposed to the Neis HaMelchama, because Megillas Tainus is a Beis HaMikdash-oriented, Beis HaMikdash-centered text. That's what it's all about. It's a record of the Yom Tovim that have to do with different things that happened in and around the Beis HaMikdash. Neis HaMelchama is certainly important too, because Neis HaMelchama allowed them to come back in, but the primary story, we understand why Megillas Tainus, the primary story But then, once you appreciate all of that, it makes it that much stranger when you look at the end of the braisa. So you pointed out to me, right, that you look in Rashi, so Rashi says, you have to appreciate what this means. Lo shasum b'malacha. Shlo nikru el lekros halal v'lo mar'al anisim b'hoda. It's not that asur b'malacha. It's merely a yontif with respect to halal v'hoda, halal and anisim. So what's Rashi trying to say? No more Rashi trying to say, if you want Maseches Megillah, so you might be sensitive to the fact that yontov means a day that's asur b'malacha. That's what it usually means. That's why if the Gemara points out, if you trace the psukim in the ninth parak of Megillah Esther, first there's this grassroots, the popular version of Purim, and then there's from the top, a Takanas Chazal of Purim. And the original version of Purim that people began to keep their own, it seems like there was an aspect of Yom Tov. Yisr Malacha. The Gemara says, ultimately, when Chazal was talking Purim, they decided to drop the element of Yisr Malacha. But the original version of Purim would have been a Yom Tov. So that's why Rashi says, the point is, they made a Yom Tov, but not in the usual sense of Yom Tov. Not in Yisr Malach, not in Yisr Malach on Hanukkah. It's a Yom Tov only with respect to Halal V'Hodah. Good. It's a Yom Tov only, the entirety of Hanukkah is merely Halal V'Hodah. If I asked you, tell me the dinim of Hanukkah. What's the most important mitzvah of Hanukkah? Everyone would say, of course, saying Al Hanisim and saying Hal. Right? No, everyone would say, like you said, I'll Neres Hanukkah. Because you always have the joker who says the biggest mitzvah is eating sufganiyot and playing dreidel. Right? Either way, no one would say, it would never occur to us, oh, well, you know what the mitzvahs of Hanukkah are? The mitzvahs of Hanukkah are Hallow and Alanism. I mean, those are dinim of Hanukkah. You learn Shulchan Aruch. The bulk of Shulchan Aruch's Hanukkah is about Neres Hanukkah. And the end tells you, what's the Seder HaTfilah? You say Hallel, you don't say Tachanun. You say Alanisim, and Davin, and Benchi, and beautiful. But it's like Iker Chasim and HaSefer. It's especially since Rashi told us, it means it's only a Yontif with respect to these two things. Not Asim Lacha, only for Hallel Alanisim. You couldn't say Ner Hanukkah. So bizarre. And what's even stranger is it's in counterpoint to the story. In the story, we only told the Neis HaShemen. We only told the menorah part. We didn't talk about the Mechamet. Only did we focus on the Hadlakas HaMenorah and Beis HaMikdash. And then we tell you, and therefore we have a Yom Tov, and we leave out Hadlakas Neir Hanukkah. Mikir Zomer Darsheni. So what would you say? Let's talk to the shop. You'll notice, by the way, also, the previous Rashi, which we opened, seems to fit in. The Gemara had been talking up until this point about which dinim, the dinim of Ner Hanukkah. From Chafal, from Alf, all the way up until this point, it's all about Ner Hanukkah. Nothing is about Hallel or about Alanisim. Alanisim comes at the end of the sugya, later. Tav Chav Dalet. This is Ner Hanukkah. This is Kapsa Zakakla, Kapsa Ein Zakakla, Asa Shamashla Ora, Mahajin, Mahajin, Mina Mahajin, that's all Ner Hanukkah. Then the Gemara says, My Hanukkah, so Rashi says, Al Eza Nes Kivauha. For which days were they Koveya it? It sounds like Rashi's perhaps trying to indicate, we're not really asking, even though we've been told Ner Hanukkah, now we're backing up and asking, what's the whole Yom Tov of Hanukkah about? Because according to Rashi just told us, the Brisa didn't even mention Ner Hanukkah. It just talks about the Yom Tov of Hanukkah, which is a Yom Tov with respect to Hallel and Alanisim. So that's why he needs to back up and say, we've been taught Ner Hanukkah, but this now the Gemara is asking a larger question, what's all Yom Tov of Hanukkah about? But again, it just begs the question, so it makes it even worse. We talk about Ner Hanukkah, and then we didn't even talk, and we call it Bryce doesn't even talk about Ner Hanukkah at all. My God. So you saw that a number of Rishonim develop a common theme. The common theme which Rabbi Tzal Zsolti in his Mishnas Yavetz suggests may be the key to understanding Rashi. Who was Rav Saul Zhonti? I have the sefer right here. Three gorgeous volumes, Mishnas Yavetz. One is on Yardaya. One is on, I believe, Choshen Mishpat. And there's one on Aruch Chaim. Aruch Chaim is the only Yom Tov. Rav Saul Zhonti was, I think, at one point the Rav of Yerushalayim. Not just a Rav in Yerushalayim. He was the Rav of Yerushalayim. You may not have heard of him so much. But just to give you a sense of who he was, just to sort of give you a little bit of a flavor, I was in Rabbi Willig's office many, many years ago, back in Rabbi Willig's office, when Rabbi Willig was learning in the Mas Beis Medrash, and I came across in his office a Torah journal that's several decades old. It was put out by a kolo. So the Rish Kolo put in articles, and all the Chavri HaKolo put in articles. So the Chavri HaKolo, these were like young fellows who just married, young aspiring Talmidei Chachamim with names like Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Yosef Shoam El Yashiv and Ovadi Yosef. Those are like the young members of the Kolo who are not even Musmachim at that point. We know them obviously as Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Rav El Yashiv and Maran Chacham Ovadi Yosef. The Rosh HaKolel. So who was the Rosh HaKolel for these illustrious Chavri HaKolel? The Rosh HaKolel was Rav Bezalel Zhonti. So just to give you a sense of the generation and the stature. So he was Rosh Kolel to these, we were dealing with a man of significant stature. I believe that this volume of Mishnas Yavetz, the one on Moedim, are shiurim that he gave in Yerushalayim in different shuls during and before the Yom Tov. These are the public shiurim on Yom Tov. And over time, over the years, he gave many shiurim, and ultimately they got collected into a volume. So one of the pieces on Hanukkah, if you want to take a look, it's the Simen Ayin Gimel, the Mishnas Yavetz Or Chaim. So he raises this question. What? And he points out that it's he's not the first one to raise it. One of the Smag is one of the Sifra Halacha written by the Baal Yatosa, Sefer Mitzvos Gadol. So the Re'eim, in his comments on the bottom of the Smag, says, well, what's going on with Rashi? Ikar Chalsim Ras Sefer. How do you understand this? How did the Brisa not mention the Ner Chanukah? So Zhalti says, I have a way of looking at it. He says, let's take a look. Let's open up some more kashas. There's a rush. The rush in Masech HaShavis on these sugyas quotes the Shiltos. A very, very strange Shiltos. And it's strange because of the Gemara you have to know in the fourth parak of Megillah. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara in the fourth parak of Megillah. The Gemara in the fourth parak of Megillah wants to know, when you put things into Shemus, what needs to go into, that's often a question. Sometimes you have shuls, they have a sign like, do drop off Seamus, don't drop off Seamus, leave some money, drop off Seamus, leave Seamus here, leave Seamus here. Well, part of the issue is, people put lots of things into Seamus. So some things belong, some things don't belong. So the Gemara wants to know, at the beginning of the fourth parak of Megillah, what is, we use the term Seamus, the official Hebrew word is Geniza. Which things are Nignazin, and which things are Nizrakin? Which things can just be thrown out, and which things have to be put away into Geniza? So the Gemara says, well, it depends whether it's Tashmishe Kedusha or Tashmishe Mitzvah. Are there things that serve as Kedusha? Then they have to go into Geniz. They have to go into Shemus. Like the straps of Tefillin, there's something you wrap the cloth of the mezuzah in, and so on and so forth. That's Tashmishe Kedusha. But if it's only Tashmishe Mitzvah, something that serves as a Mitzvah, but not Kedusha, then it's Nizrakin. Then it can go in the garbage, like a Sukkah, a Lulav, a Shofar, Tzitzis. It has to be put away politely. It has to be put away ba'ofen mechubad. It can't be thrown into the garbage, the kitchen garbage, together with the chicken bones. You put it in the office garbage, the clean garbage, or you put it in its own bag, then you put it in the garbage. It has to be thrown away in a bakavadika fashion, but it does not have to go into Shemus. If it's tashmishe mitzvah, what's the difference between tashmishe? What differentiates mean? Tefillin and mezuzah are also mitzvahs. And all mitzvahs are holy. So how do you define some things in Tashmishe Kedusha, other things in Tashmishe Mitzvah? Hashem's name, and or Torah. Right? So if it's connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name and or to Psukim, to Torah, so that the Torah is the source of Kedusha in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of Kedusha, Torah is a conduit to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kedusha into this world. So that's Torah has permanent Shem Hashem, they have permanent Kedusha. Even if the item is decommissioned, the tefillin are worn out, the straps are worn out, it can no longer be used, but it retains a permanent Kedusha, even though it's decommissioned, and it has to go into Geniza. Whereas the other Chepetz Mitzvah that don't involve Torah or Shem Hashem, Sukkah Lulav Shofar Tzitzis, so Lachar's Man Mitzvah, so when it's done, when it's decommissioned from the mitzvah is over or the item is worn out, he slept, you can't treat it with Bizayon, you have to treat it with some respect, but it doesn't retain the Kedusha, it can be thrown in the garbage. Now, with that in mind, yeah, question, Ifa. Because the tefillin strap is attached to the tefillin. Services the tefillin, which has ksav shel Torah, where the tzitzis do not have ksav shel Torah. Right, but while it was being used, it's not what we call gufei kedusha. It's what we call tashmishe kedusha. It's
from the makor of the kedusha.
No, but this serviced kedusha. Whereas the tzitzis were used for a mitzvah, but never serviced ksav shel Torah. If you have tzitzis that have a pasuk stitched on them, that may be that. It may be that we have sukkah walls that have psukim printed on them. That's different.
You can tie your tzitzis to something that have a pasuk on them with Shem Hashem. That wouldn't make the tzitzis tashmishe kedusha.
There's no purpose of it. If you tie a tissue to...
But I'm saying if our distinction for what tashmishe kedusha is, it's either Shem Hashem or Divrei Torah.
Kedusha, gufei kedusha, Shem Hashem or Divrei Torah. Tashmishe kedusha means it was meshamesh, it was servicing gufei kedusha. Like, I don't want to get that. This would take us far afield, but just to let you know, if you look in the fourth parak of Megillah near the beginning, the Gemara has sugyas about, let's say, how distant, how remote can it be? Tashmish versus Tashmish is Tashmish. And what's the status of the bima that you put the Sefer Torah on? And let's say there's a cover on the bima. So what's the status of the cover versus the wood? The Gemara gets around the details of knows how directly did it have to interact with Gufei Kedusha in order to retain Kedusha. Either way, how would you characterize Neres Hanukkah? As Tashmisha Mitzvah, Tashmisha Kedusha? Tashmisha Mitzvah. No Ksav Shel Torah involved. So you would think that when Hanukkah is over, what do you do with your menorah? Either keep it for next year or throw the garbage. Right? Let's say you have leftover oil. Let's say you have leftover. You had oil that was in the menorah. I didn't. It's the eighth morning of Hanukkah, and you see one of the Neris is the fire went out prematurely, and you have extra oil in the bottom of the menorah. So what should be the status of that oil? It's like an esrog. When Hanukkah is over, when Sukkot is over, you want to eat the... On Sukkot, it's Huksim Mitzvah. When Sukkot is over, you want to eat the esrog Zintayt. You want to use the Hadassim for Besalim Zintayt. You want to throw in the garbage? Also fun. They take a look at the shiltas. It's a remarkably strange shiltas. Here in the Russian Perek Bey's Simon test, shiltas Rav Achoy. He quotes the shiltas of Rav Achoy. Who was Rav Achoy? What are the shiltas? What sort of work is he quoting? So it is, actually, we have a copy, I think, of this place here. It is, as far as I know, the first post-Talmudic halachic sefer. It's the first sefer, Acher Chasimus HaTalmud, independent halachic sefer, as far as is the first or one of the first, a freestanding the generations after the Amoraim, so they were working on the language of the Talmud Bavli, and at some point they start to write, even before Perushim, they start to write abridged versions. Different Gaonim wrote, which culminated ultimately in the Rif and the Rambam, writing different abridgments, summaries of the Gemara. But the Shiltas is a freestanding sefer written probably in the 700s or the 800s, and he goes through every single parsha, every single sedra. He gives you a couple of one or a few topics that relate to the parsha. Sometimes it's direct, sometimes the connection a little bit playful. He talks about Yehar Vayavar and parshas Va'era. I asked you, what are the halachic topics in Parshas Ve'era? You probably wonder, what are the halachic topics in Parshas Ve'era? Shiltas says, well, one of the halachic topics in Parshas Ve'era is Yehar Vayavar. Why? His whole presentation, Yehar Vayavar, is in Parashat Erev. Why? Because the Gemara tells us that based on the Psukim, say that the Sephardim went into the ovens. The Gemara says, wow, they went into the ovens. They probably didn't come out alive. And the Gemara says that, I think the Gemara says, the Hanan Mishal of Azariah made a Kal V'Chomer. Almost a millennium later, there were peers of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar says, you're going to bow down to the statue or else he'll throw you into the furnace. And they say, we'll be thrown into the furnace. And I think the Gemara says, they made a Kal V'Chomer. The Tzfarim, they're not human. They're certainly not Metzuveh. And they jumped in to avoid. So all the more so. Yes, children's songs notwithstanding. So that's the Shiltus. That's the Shiltus. This is a very ancient work of the middle of the period of the Gaonim. Marai Rabotai. So what is the Rush quote from the Shiltus? Again, the Rush is quoting, the Rush lives in the 1300s. He's quoting a sefer like from 500 years before him. To us, it's all old. But Rush is the second half, the end of the period of the Baiatosis, towards the latter half of the period of the Rishonim. And he's quoting from the middle of the Gaonim, the Shiltus. Ner Chanukah shahosir bo shemen mahu tzarich lasas bo. If you have a Ner Chanukah with leftover oil, again, we don't mean leftover oil in the bottle. Leftover oil in the bottle, for sure, use it for your salad dressing. But he means leftover oil, I put it in the Ner Chanukah last night, and this morning there's some leftover oil that didn't burn. So what's the din? Tashma, Tana Rabbanan, Ner Chanukah shahosir bo shemen yomisha mosav alav umadlik yom sheni. The leftover oil that you wake up the first morning and it didn't burn out, it's good to use it towards tonight. Yom Sheni, Mosav and Yom Shlishi. Again, you wake up the second day, it's still half full, add more oil, fill it up, and then light it again the next day. The Chemish Ayamim, Aval, says the Shiltos. That's all very nice throughout the days of Hanukkah. But if you have leftovers on day 8, Oselo Maduro Visorfa Bifriatsmo. Then you have to make a separate bonfire and burn it. That's a din that definitely excites some people. Lafisha Huksa Le Mitzvah Oslo Ishtamesh. You're not allowed to use it for your own personal purposes. What would you use it for? I guess you could use it for consumption, for cooking, for eating, for salad dressing. It doesn't sound very appetizing to take the right? So what would they otherwise have used it for? The answer is...
Put it in like a light bulb?
Yeah. Remember, until Thomas Edison, these were light bulbs. Olive oil was a light bulb. That's what you used to light your house. It got dark at night. Either you went to sleep, because that's what people used to do. When it got dark, you went to sleep. When it got light out, you would wake up. If you go camping, you tend to fall asleep earlier and wake up later, because you're following the sun. Or you didn't flip a switch and turn on the lights, you poured oil into the container, stuck in a wick, lit it, and that was your light bulb. So you have left it, we often don't think about that. Ner Shabbos. Ner Shabbos is not, sometimes we think of it sort of like a ritual. Ner Shabbos means setting the lights for Shabbos. So we often do both. As we set the lights, flick the monitor off, check the Shabbos clock, and light the candles. But that's all part of the mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner Shabbos. Hadlakas Ner Chanukah is to turn on lights, as the Gemara says later, that are not meant for light. You can turn on lights in like funny places. You have a light in the corner, you have a light outside there, and it's sort of an odd place where it's not meant. The Gemara says later on the sugya. So you dafka do it in a way that doesn't seem like it's for regular illumination. This is special. The pure Simhanes. But Lamaisa, Chanukah is over, and now I have what we would call extra light bulbs. I have leftover oil that I had turned on for Ner Chanukah, but it didn't get all used up. So what do I do with it? So I would have said, what you would have otherwise would have said is, use it tonight. Not in the Ner Chanukah on the side, at the door. Who puts on lights at the door? Use it in the dining room. You're gonna eat supper tonight. So you use the oil, put it back in your stock of oil for lighting. Says the Shiltus, Chas V'Shalom. You got to make a separate Madura, make a bonfire and incinerate it, or alternatively maybe throw it out. You cannot use it because it's huksa the mitzvasa. Now that's really strange because why is that different than Esrog? During Sukkot is huksa mitzvasa, but the yontif is over, enjoy your Esrog. During Chanukah, I understand, but Chanukah is over, enjoy the oil, do whatever you want, eat it, burn it, whatever you want. It's not Tashmishe Kedusha. It's not even Tashmishe Mitzvah in that Torah. It's not Mitzvah Drabanan. It's less Chamer than Esrei. Hello, Davar. Hello, Davar. What's Hakam Shah? It's a very troubling Shiltos. That's the question. So the carbon asana on the bottom, says, I don't understand. Says, didn't the Rush say earlier that you can do whatever you want leftover oil? So then he starts working at the base. Yosef deals with this. Everyone talks about the Shiltos. So this is it's a difficult Shiltos. The Rush just quotes it here without any comment. Sounds like, but the halacha. So what are we supposed to make of the Gemara? What are we supposed to make of the Shilta? So you take a look and the third problem solves it. The third problem solves it, at least begins to solve it. So let's begin to solve it now. And we'll continue Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow morning. The Baal HaMor talks about the Gemara you saw about Asur L'Hishtamesh L'Ora. And the Gemara has a debate whether Asur L'Hishtamesh L'Ora or Mutar L'Hishtamesh L'Ora. Am I allowed to use the light of the Ner Chanukah or not? Now, the problem is that's on Chaf Alef Amud Aleph to Chaf Alef Amud Beis. But then as you turn to Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara seems to reopen the issue all over again. And without any reference to the fact we just discussed as a blot earlier, and without any machlokas, and with totally unrelated language. The Gemara says, oh, Asur L'Hartzos Mos L'Or HaNer. You're not allowed to count money by the light of the Ner Hanukkah. And it doesn't use the same language of Asur L'Hishtamesh L'Ora. And the Gemara said, saying it's because of an issue of Bizayon. The Gemara said, just same way. The Gemara says, how do you know it's true? The Gemara says, well, the same way that when you do Kisui Hadam, that's a mitzvah daraisa, when you shecht specifically a wild animal or a bird, a chay or oaf, the mitzvah after the shechita to cover the blood with soil. And the Gemara says, v'shafach v'chisa. You shecht it, you spill its blood, and then you cover it. A hekesh between the two. So what's the point of the hekesh? The Gemara says, you use the same organ of your body to do shechita and do kisui adam. Well, what part of your body do you use to do shechita? Obviously. Hopefully your hand, right? Oh, your knife is not part of your body. I use your hand to hold the knife. Says the Gemara, that means you also have to use your hand to do the Kisui Hadam. Well, how else would I have done Kisui Hadam?
With your foot.
That seems like a pretty light. You wouldn't shecht with your foot unless you have extraordinary, however you say, dexterity in your feet. But a lot of people would want to do Kisui Hadam on their feet. The blood is on the floor, the blood is on the soil, and I need to cover the more soil. So I'll just use my foot. I have a pile of soil. I'll just kick it over with my foot. So it says, Gemara Darshan the Pasuk, no, v'shafach v'chisa, the same way. Of course you have to use your hands to shecht, there's no other way to do it. Yomchuyev, don't use your feet to do kisui adam, lean over, get down, and use your hands to do kisui adam. Why? Says the Gemara, exactly. Because to use your feet, that's a bizayon. To use your feet for shechita is an impossibility. To use your feet for kisui adam is wrong, because that's a bizayon. The Gemara says, avuhon t'chulu dam. The av, as an Avos told us, the source for all the different areas in halacha where we say you got to avoid bizay mitzvah, it all comes from the fact that you need to use your hands to do kisui hadam. And that apparently is the source for not counting your money on daf chav beis amud aleph l'or haner. So the Baal HaMor, let's take a look at the Baal HaMor. The Baal HaMor says, The Baal HaMor says, well, how do you make sense of this? So he says, Lamanda Omar Oslish Tamesh Laura, the Gemara Chadav Chaf Aleph, which had a machlokas, whether or not you're allowed to use Or Haner, we paskin Aser, Kol Tashish Mimasha. That means, and you can't use it at all. Afilu tashish de mitzvah tashmish kedusha. Even if it's for a mitzvah, even if it's for a kedusha. In other words, it says, but the Gemara Chaf Aleph and the Gemara Chaf Beis talk about two different things. Gemara Chaf Beis is talking about counting money. Gemara Chaf Aleph is talking about, I'm going to have a Shabbos Suda. I'm going to learn L'Or HaNer. That sounds more acceptable. Let's skip down a line, then come back to here. The third line. Lamanda Omar, the Gemara Chav Beis Rav, also Hartus Mos Kineged Ner Shel Chanukah. You just can't count money. Balmar says it means specifically counting money. Dafka Hartzos Mos Vikayotzi Ba Shehi Tashvish Rishus V'Shalchol. It's a neutral activity. Nothing wrong with counting your money, but it's not a mitzvah to count your money. It's a neutral act.
It's not a bizayon.
Oh, so that would be a bizayon. Gemara there says you're going to nothing wrong with counting money, but use a mitzvah object to enable neutral activity. It's a bizayon to the mitzvah object. But Tashba, based on that, Gemara would have said Tashvish mitzvah, Tashvish kedusha is mutter. But now going back to the top line, he says, but our Gemara, which raises what Balamar understands to be a higher level, you can't use it at all, also shamash la'ori, even for a mitzvah. What's talking wrong with that? If you say you can't use the Or HaNer for the Divrei Rishos, I understand, it's bizayon ha-mitzvah, good. But the Balamar says, but sound like the two sugars are separate. So what's driving our sugya? It must be something more than merely bizayon mitzvah. It's not a bizayon to the mitzvah, he argues, to use Ner Chanukah, the aura of Ner Chanukah, for what's it called?
Money.
Yeah, for counting money, maybe is a design, but use it for counting stock of money, use it for counting, and use it for a Suda Shabbos, what's wrong? So he says, it sounds like it's a Dover Shal Kedusha. Mishum de Kasavar, Keshem Zechel and Neros, Ulashem and Shal Hechal, Asura Saint Banal, Kol Iker. Wow, this Gemara holds. That there's an issue. It's a me'en of the Neros HaMenorah. And based on the Neros HaMenorah, based on Mikdash had Kedusha. That was Hektash. You couldn't use that light for anything, even for a different mitzvah. You couldn't sit by the Ner, by the menorah and learn your Sefer. That would be a violation. Sounds like that potentially along the lines of Mi'ilah. Afilo likro b'sefer, afilo suda Shabbos, or suda mitzvah. And how about the Neros at home? The Neros in your window, the Neros outside your door. It's a zecher leneros or l'shem and shalheichal. But this, since this is a zecher lemikdash, so that explains why midirabbanan, we give it a status of divrei kedusha. We give it a status like a mi'ila-like status. It's not just a tashrish mitzvah. It's a little bit like a tashrish kedusha. That explains for the Baal HaMa'or, and the Ran expands on this, why also hishtamish la'ora, number one, that might explain, as Rabbi Shechter points out in the Chanukah share, that might explain the Shiltos, that not only you can't use the light b'shas maisa, but that's why we would say that midrabanan, it retains a certain status even la'achar's ma'am mitzvasa, because we're treating it as though it's divrei kedusha because of the zecher lemikdash aspect of Neros Chanukah. I leave you this to think about. We'll pick up with this topic mitzvah tomorrow morning. Once you have the zecher lemikdash idea, especially given the way we earlier today sort of developed the Gemara on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, you can think about how that might explain several other things, including understanding the missing mitzvah of Neros Chanukah in the Brisa of Megillas Tainis, the Brisa of Chanukah Shabbos Chaf Aleph Amud Beis.